Welcome back. A little blues.
Great blues.
Oh, love that music. And the reason I'm playing that Vogler Vogler, all the years of working the ATA show in Indianapolis, the Slippery Noodle, one of my favorite places. That goes out to, I know a lot of my friends in the industry was at the Slippery Noodle last night. They play some great music there.
Great, sounds like a great bar times. Name.
Oh, it's a great, great place. Good food, fun place. Done that a lot. Yes, the ATA show's in Indianapolis. In the next segment, we'll be talking to Tiny Tim, Tim Chelsovic, the Thinking Woodsman with Midwest Outdoors Magazine, about that show and all the cool things. What do you got for me, Vogler?
I've got Mossberg announces dedicated sales force. 15 regional sales managers are covering the U.S. and Canada now. They've tried to diversify and spread it out a little bit more. Instead of compacting it, they've spread it out a little bit more. It's North Haven, Connecticut, OF Mossberg & Sons Incorporated, America's oldest family-owned and operated firearms manufacturer, pleased to announce the hiring of 15 regional sales managers. They're trying to get it to make sure that they have the best coverage in America now.
Cool. You know, a lot of this product today, I've been in the industry over 30 years and see a lot of stuff, but some things I still don't understand, and I'm going to go ahead and say this before we get Tim on and see if he talks about it. Garmin has a new product that you put on your crossbow or your new $1,400, what do you call them things, compound bows?
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure about this. It says it's this bow-mounted rangefinder and holographic sight. Range your target. It's a single holographic, and then it displays for yardage. You hook it on your bow, and it tells you how far something is, and then it's a holographic sight that you put it on for archery. And I guess I'm old school. I mean, this reminds me of the movie with Arnold with the alien guy. That's the kind of stuff that is. You know, come on, if you need a rangefinder, you're shooting bows. I know they shoot further and faster and all that, but I'm just old school, I guess. I don't know. And you know, it sells for about $800.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. I mean,
maybe it's just me.
You're probably one
I shouldn't be knocking any industry products. I know that, but I just don't understand that.
You know, it's you and a lot of the, well, Denny Dennis is one of the other people that could judge distances. There are so many people out there that don't know distance. Oh, the shot was 100 yards. No, it wasn't. You know, that's a long distance, and that just, they just simply don't understand yardage.
Well, of course, I grew up hunting with a recurve bow, and you didn't have sights, and you had to learn to judge distance. So it was just, an $800,000 sight, holographic sight that tells you how far something is. You got to have that to go bow hunting. Just me. I'll probably get hate mail on this one, but that's just the way it is. Come here, Peanut. Say something.
It's like one, down at the farm when, you know, first started hunting, set out markers so that somebody my son could judge distances, you know, to get it out there, so it helped train him to know what 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 yards is.
I know with today's modern equipment, it makes people, hunters, more efficient and more effective in a lot of situations with game animals. And because they're using pin sights or whatever kind of sights, they need to know yardage. But when I grew up, you had to learn and know what yardage was. You didn't have something tell you how far something is. That's just me.
When training referees, I used to give them a piece of string and said, tell me when 10 yards is. Well, guess what? It was a 10-yard string, and there are people coming up with, you know, 7 yards, and they still had all the string left. No, this is 10 yards. Give the players that much room. And it's surprising how many people don't know that. But you grew up with it. That's your benefit again.
Well, why don't we put that on our rifles for deer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's play the next song I had in there for the next segment. Let's go ahead and just play that because I want a little more blues. We're not yet. We're not ready for that yet. He's on there. I want to play the next song. That's okay. I want to play this little thing. Then we'll do his intro. Let's do the next song segment. Yeah. I love this song. This goes out to all of those at the ATA show and those that went to the Slippery Noodle last night. We decided to do a little blues this morning before we go to our next guest. Listen to this song. It's awesome. We're probably going to have to start playing a lot more blues on this show, you know what?
Why do you look at me when you say that?
Well, Pina finally settled down, got up in her chair. Isn't that a great song?
That's the beat, remarkable. The music. But I want a glass of scotch now.
I can smell the smoke in the slippery noodle. See all of our industry friends. The band used to recognize the people in the audience and had fun with everybody. That's a great place. Slippery Noodle, Indianapolis, Indiana. Elmo Steakhouse, good too. Ooh. A lot of good food up there, a lot of good stuff in Indianapolis. Great people, great friends, great family. I miss all of you, but I worked that show for many, 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 many years. It felt good to be home.
Still remember the one, that was one of the first years I'm in studio, and Nugent came over and grabbed you around the head and wouldn't let go of you until you promised to take him hunting.
Let's do a little intro for our next guest. Here we go. Tiny Tim with the Thinking Woodsman's podcast, Midwest Outdoors Magazine and Television. Tiny Tim. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Ray. Bogler, Vogler, Maddie G. How are you guys?
We're great. I was a little concerned about you last night. You went into a restaurant all by yourself. The place was empty, and they were going to close because of the weather, and they kept it open, and you had dinner. Why were you by yourself when you're at the ATA show, buddy?
You know, I got a few invites last night, but you know I have a pretty strict dietary regimen.
That's right.
So yeah, I kind of had to nerd out and go off myself. But, you know, I ate at a Greek restaurant, and the gyro meat and the tzatziki sauce, it was worth the trip over.
Okay. I was just wondering, good, you know, stuff. Kind of remind me of that Christmas show where they ended up with the duck for Christmas all by yourself, you know.
It's smiling at us.
Yeah. You know, you're in Indianapolis with all the great food places and so many great industry people, and people have already got to know you somewhat. You're kind of a friend with a lot of the industry people, or some of the industry people. You'd think somebody would have took you to dinner last night.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah,
maybe you can have a talk with a few people.
You seen my brothers, the Drurys, yesterday. I seen that on Facebook.
Yeah, they are, you know, everyone down here knows the Drurys.
Well, sure.
And they're super busy meeting with folks, and everyone wants a little piece of their time. But it just goes to show how you really can get ahead by being a good guy
and working hard.
Exactly.
And being honest. Absolutely.
Exactly. And everyone wants that, but I don't think most people are willing to work as hard as those guys do.
We were a little rough on them earlier in the show. We played the celebrity for all the outdoor television hosts out there at ATA.
Well, I'm sure they could take it. Well, Mark and Matt played along with me yesterday. We did a little spoof.
Yeah.
As if I was walking. But yeah, you saw that.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, people can go to the Thinking Woodsman Facebook page and see the video, but they were kind of like reversing the roles and pretending that I was the big celebrity, and they were excited.
Tiny Tim, only you.
Right, yeah. They were good sports about it, but what a show. I mean, it's almost sensory overload down here for the bow hunter. My goodness.
Right. Take it away, buddy.
I rolled in yesterday morning and walked in, and there's got to be over 1,000 booths here. And some are as big as a small city block, and some are, you know, a little 30 by 30 space. But it's just, so some of the trends, and I'll put out an article on this a little bit later today on thethinkingwoodsman.com called Trends at ATA, because ATA kind of shows folks what's coming up in the archery industry. It's where a lot of the companies reveal their big products, and a lot of folks know that the Primos 360 blind, they launched a video that went viral on that. It's a blind that has this mesh on it that's coated, and so essentially you can see clearly through the mesh, and it goes all the way around you. That's why they call it the 360 blind. But you can't see inside. So, you know, in a turkey hunting scenario where you're in a blind, I don't know how many times a turkey has come up behind me and I can't tell. I don't know they're there. I can't see where they are. This blind kind of resolves that issue. You know, one of the things that's not being talked about a whole lot about that particular blind is when you get up close to it, you know, in the video online, it looks great. But when you get up close to it, it's got a little bit of a glare to it, a little bit of a sheen. So, you know, you just may want to think about that. Okay. If you're setting it out for a whitetail setup, maybe concerned about spooking deer, especially if you drop it in on the same day you're going to hunt. So that's making news. The Garmin Zero Ace sight, that's their, it's an incredible amount of technology packed into a bow sight that actually ranges the animal for you.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's it really kind of begs the question, is how much technology is too much technology?
Thank you.
And you know, from my perspective, I think it's fascinating technology, and it's cool to see innovations come out and new options for folks. But for my taste, I don't know that I would hunt with it on a regular basis. And in a lot of cases, it could preclude you from a record book buck.
Right.
Because it is considered an electronic aid. But one of the other things that it does is I have the Garmin Fenix GPS watch. I use it for running and cycling and GPS tracking out in the woods. That bow sight ray will talk to your watch and tell you based on the angle and the shot and the yardage where your arrow should have gone.
All righty then. Man.
I mean, 99% of the time, I know where my arrow went. I'm right through that deer, and it's sitting in the dirt on the other side. But, you know, to each their own. It's interesting technology. The other thing is that stuff like that, so the price, the low-end price point on that unit is $800.
Yep.
And then for another $200, you get a unit that you can program into 10 different types of arrows. Because, you know, a spot arrows or 3D arrows or your hunting arrows, they'll fly a little differently. So spend an extra couple $100 and get the next level up. So folks have to determine if that's what they want, if they're willing to spend that much money. I mean, you could buy a bow for that much money.
Yes, indeed. That's a long ways from the late 1960s, early 1970s, Ozark, Hill Country, River Hills, archery camps with long bows and recurves. That's a long ways from there, anybody.
It's literally space-age technology slapped onto your bow. The heartening component of that is that it shows that companies are willing to invest in products for sportsmen. So that's not a bad thing. Garmin is a big company and they've got a lot of different arms. So I'm glad that they're recognizing the importance of outdoorsmen. But people have to make up their own mind.
That's true. That's true. Each of their own. That's why talking about it earlier, I said, hey, it's just me. You know, I'm probably going to get hate mail. Some of the things I said about this. I said, are you kidding me? You got to have a rangefinder and a holographic sight on a bow or a crossbow to kill a deer. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and this does have holographic pins. It actually flashes a pin up on a little dot, like a red dot sight, up on this lens, and it changes based on the yardage of the deer. It's pretty amazing.
One of the things I've always said in the hunting industry when it comes to the turkey or the white-tailed deer or whatever you're using, the more stuff you got that has batteries, the more stuff you get that's got to work, that can break.
One more thing
you're going to get in trouble with. You know, the less
that's
you
right.
have, it's like at a turkey hunter, if you just use regular sights without batteries and things like that, that's one less thing that's going to go out or not. I cannot tell you how many times, both in archery and in turkey hunting, where somebody had some equipment that failed on them, and there was no reason for it, you know.
Yeah, well, and the other question you have to ask yourself, is your equipment serving you, or are you have you become a slave to your equipment?
Yes, very good.
And that's a really hard line to walk, especially now with all the cameras that we drag out into the woods and GPS units and everything. It's kind of an interesting line that people have to walk.
What other great products do you see? There's got to be a ton of stuff. You see anything that really caught your attention?
Right now it's kind of cool because no one else is here, and I'm sitting on Jim Shockey's Yeti cooler.
So cool.
Just don't tell him I'm doing that. You know, there's not been one product in particular that's really blown me away.
Okay.
The industry, I think, is widening out. Instead of kind of the Hoyt and PSC and Matthews being the big compound bow makers, now there are 17 different compound bow manufacturers represented here.
I didn't know that.
You know, with camouflage, it used to be flannel and Carhartt pants.
Yeah.
Then it was Realtree and Mossy Oak. There are over 15 different camouflage manufacturers here, pattern manufacturers.
Wow.
So the industry seems to be really spreading out, and hunters have a lot more options than they used to. And the other great thing is it's driving innovation. No longer can the big historic companies kind of sit back on their laurels and depend on brand loyalty, because there's a lot of young, hungry companies out there creating camouflage patterns that are pretty compelling. And same thing with bows, with technology and manufacturing costs dropping. There's a lot of great stuff coming out there in the market. I mean, the bows right now, if you're shooting anything under 300 feet per second, it's considered antiquated.
Wow.
And pretty much every bow that's coming out this year is shooting over that 300 feet per second mark. And that's, you know, you can get a good $500-$600 bow that's zinging arrows much quicker than anything 15, 20 years ago could.
God, I'm old school. What happened to $200 bows? They don't make them anymore?
They do. They're on the used rack.
Okay.
You know, there are, like, Mission, for example, is a subsidiary of Matthews.
Okay.
They make great price point bows, and they utilize the technology that Matthews puts into their higher price flagship bows.
Okay.
They put them into more price point bows, and where you lose out on is some of the components and the weight and things like that.
But I like that because, you know, there's a working guy out there working 6-7 days a week that can't afford those high-priced thin bows and wants to participate, you know?
Yeah, my buddy killed a doe with a Mission Craze a couple of years ago, and the deer didn't seem to mind how much it cost him.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah. So you know, the other thing that a show like this, an industry show like this, can confuse people on is the importance of skill and talent, and you know, so many people want to just buy the gear that's going to help them to perform out in the woods without focusing on the skill required to get close to the animal to make the shot. I think no matter what, and that's kind of my thing with the Garmin rangefinders. That's part of the art of bow hunting is knowing your yardage and figuring out the shot. It's fun to come to these shows and see all the great new stuff. But boy, there's no replacement for skill and practice.
Amen, brother. I'm glad you said that.
Doing.
That's good. Just got a text message that Jim Shockey has been texted that there's a guy in his booth going through his stuff, and told Jim he probably needs to go over there. So you might want to keep an eye out.
I just moved. I went to the PSE truck, and I'm taking arrows now.
How's it
here before anyone else?
How was the attendance on Friday?
It was, you know, this is my first ATA, so I have nothing to put it up against, but the place was packed the whole day. I mean, there were people all over the place. And I did talk to a lot of booths, and they said that they were busy. They were filling a lot of orders because, again, this is an industry show. This is not for the general public.
For the consumer, right?
This is, exactly. So manufacturers are interested in filling orders and taking orders from bow shops and stuff like that. And it sounds like folks were pretty busy, which is a good sign for the archery industry because the past few years have been kind of slim.
Right.
Marketing dollars have been curtailed quite a bit. And so it's great to see that those orders are coming in and money's flowing because that helps us in terms of our lobbying efforts for hunting rights.
Absolutely.
And access and conservation efforts also. So archery is alive and well, as evidenced by APA 2018.
That's good. Years ago, we'd go there. That's where we got all of our material for new products and articles and stuff. You know, today's electronic world, it's, you know, you could stay home and still gather all that. But that show was always a lot of fun, a lot of work, and it was great to be part of that industry. And the dealers would come in and go to the manufacturers, and then we had great dinners at night. But almost about 95% of the material that we produced came from those shows when we went to those shows.
Well, one of the really cool things was the Badlands Film Festival.
And
I don't know how much time we got before the next break. But
you got plenty of time. We save time for you because we love you.
Perfect. Of course. Oh, and Vogler Vogler. Vogler Vogler sent me a message last night. He wants me to find him a crossbow while I'm here.
Yeah.
So he owes me $1,800
because
I picked him up one.
Awesome. So, awesome. Perfect.
Pass it along.
Okay. We just did.
He's dying. He just died.
There's a pucker factor going on.
Call 911. Cut washers now. Anyway, go ahead.
The Badlands Film Festival was last night. And that's something that I got an invite to. It really shows just how, you know, I mentioned earlier how there are other producers and that the industry is widening out. There are a lot of folks doing some incredible media with, you know, little point of view cameras and going out in the field and cutting stuff themselves without these big production companies behind them. And last night at the Badlands Film Festival, we saw, I don't know, maybe 10 different entries, and they were all voted on. The really cool thing, Ray, was that a number of the entries, and some of them did really well, were shows where nothing was killed.
Very
cool. It was about the pursuit, and it was about the beauty of the environments that we chase these animals in, and it was about the heartbreak and the preparation and the conservation. They were so moving, and it really made me excited because that's the kind... We've not done a really good job of helping people that are on the fence understand why we do these things that we do. Man, if you get someone on the fence in there to watch some of these movies, and you can find them on YouTube... You know, one of them was about a guy, he's probably in his 20s or 30s, his mom was diagnosed with blood cancer, and she wanted to bow hunt. She made that resolution in the hospital. So he trained her up, and they went out, and she killed a sheep with her bow at 23 yards. And she just fell apart after she made the shot, and oh my gosh, I mean, everyone was a little choked up, all the tough guys in there with their beards are kind of, you know, acting like they're not crying. But it was beautiful. And so I think that's the direction that outdoor media is going right now is smaller production companies doing this very moving, very touching work. It's really an art, and you know that from years of filming and recording audio from the field, but just really beautiful work that they're doing. And I'm excited about people who are on the fence coming in and seeing some of this. And really starting to get a sense for why we do this.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. That's been much needed. You know, over 20 years ago, we had meetings at ATA and at SHOT Show about the hunting industry and about these hunting shows, and it's all about the kill. And it's good to see, you know, that's been a problem for a long time.
Yeah, and you can tell that some of the people watching the shows are like, wait a minute, nothing died. And so there's a little bit of a culture shock that's happening.
Right.
And some people are having to be kind of retrained on what's really important, but I have to imagine that someone coming in that's relatively new to the sport, seeing those videos, and there's a link to a few of those in the article that I'll post today on thethinkingwoodsman.com, so people can go in and watch them, because they're so compelling.
Yeah, years ago it got way out of hand. The VHS tapes that came out with the colored sleeve, you know, and it did say, you know, the biggest letters on there said 27 kills. That's all they cared about, you know. It didn't say anything else but 33 kills. Ridiculous.
Yeah. And word travels fast in this electronic age.
Right.
And so people know what's important to us by what we put out front and center. And so you put a mom with her adult son sitting there on a mountain hillside with the profile of the mountains in the background with this beautiful sheep in front of her. That's gonna change some minds.
Be careful there. We got some folks in Shannon County listening. Beautiful sheep out in front of you like that.
Zing those people. Broadheads are another area where there's just so much innovation, and you know, some of the designs look a little bit wacky to me, like someone just said, hey, let's put wheels on a broadhead and see what it does.
Jeez.
but you know, you got to try and you got to see what works, and so there's just so many different broadhead manufacturers down here. A lot of small companies doing, making little accessories. Like some guy created like a glove that fits permanently around the handle of your bow. So when you're bow hunting in cold weather and don't want to wear a glove, you can slip your hand in there. And it's nice and warm. There's another company that created a product called the AccuBow.
Okay,
it's a training device. And you mount your phone to it. It's a carbon riser with a surgical tubing string, and you can attach your release to it. And you can set it from anywhere from 10 to 70 pounds.
Wow.
And you mount your phone on it, and they call it augmented reality. But on your phone, it's like you're looking down the sight window of your bow through the sight, and you see your pin, see the target off in the distance. It's almost like virtual reality. Wherever you move the bow, the target moves.
Wow.
And then there's a laser mounted to the bow. And so whenever you execute the shot, the phone hears that sound and marks where the laser is, and it shows on the screen your little arrow going out to the target to tell you where you hit. So it's a way for you to practice a consistent shooting form. But I figured it would clock in around $400 or $500. It was $130.
That ain't too bad.
It's definitely not. There's definitely a lot of tree stand safety safety products coming out. One guy, Hurricane Climbing Systems, started building bigger steps onto his their add-ons. You can buy them for your ladder or for your climbing sticks, but they're bigger, like rungs. Actually, one of the products he has is actually a like a big circular steel tube loop that you attach to the tree, almost like a handicap.
That's pretty cool.
Railing near a toilet, so you can climb up in your stand a little easier. Point of view cameras are getting smaller and better. Tacticams coming out with their 5.0 device.
All right, we're gonna have to wrap it up, Tebby boy.
Okay, man.
I know you got lots of information, and I appreciate you getting on with us and telling us all the good stuff this morning. Good stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to giving Vogler Vogler his crossbow.
That'll be awesome. If you're just joining us, we're listening to Tiny Tim, the Talking Woodsman, the Thinking Woodsman from Indianapolis, Indiana, from the ATA show. Beautiful Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us, Timmy boy, and we'll talk to you real soon, okay?
No problem, Uncle Ray. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye, buddy. There you go, Vogler Vogler. How cool was that? Was that some good, solid information?
That was.
Thank you, Matty G. Shall we? We shall.
Thanks for joining us on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com for Eye on the Outdoors, award-winning radio show.
Brought to you by Midwest Outdoors Magazine and Television, helping you enjoy the outdoors since 1967. Mossberg Quality Firearms, built rugged, proudly American. Indian Creek Shooting Systems, quality waterfowl and turkey choke tubes. Thomas Coffee, the official coffee for Eyes on the Outdoors. CFM, Conservation Federation of Missouri, at confedmo.org.
Z-Max, micro-lubricant for guns. Z-Max, made in America.
Award-winning Ray Ray's Smokehouse Barbecue Sauce and Ozark Seasoning.
RTP Outdoors, rtpoutdoors.com.
And Gary Mason's Legends of the Outdoors National Hall of Fame.
Thanks for joining us, and always be a positive role model for hunting, gun ownership, and conservation. We'll see you next time around the campfire. Be safe out there in the woods and on the water. Say goodbye, Peanut.